Well, a very good evening to you, and thank you for tuning into Terrace Talk here this evening on Radio Kerry Donabarry, of course, with you until 8 o'clock this evening. And we'll be looking back, I suppose, at all the weekend's action in football, hurling, camogie and ladies football. And really what a weekend it was. 3 wins out of 4, and the hurlers just narrowly going down to Offaly there. A sideline cut, I suppose you get as close to a win or a draw as you can, but that was quite dramatic. And we'll be discussing, of course, all those games. And then later at 7:30 this evening, something to change up the show a little bit, I'm going to talk to Elaine Cahill and Orla Farmer about trying to retain young girls and women in sport. I mean, it's a growing issue with the high dropout rate of females in sport. So what are the solutions? I'm going to get some of the views of two experts, and maybe you have a comment for that segment as well. I think that's kind of going to be kind of a good chat from 7:30 onwards. Now give Ivan a call there. He's inside 066 712 3666, or you can text or WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300 to be part of the show. And as I said, I really appreciate the time you take to listen to us, and we really appreciate your texts and comments as well, and it really makes Terrace Talk the show it is, I suppose. And I have to say a very big thank you too to all the people that I met over the weekend. Great feedback from last week's show, and especially our three Kerry GA stewards. I was getting phone calls and everything, though. It was absolutely fantastic, and really great encouragement, and a great show as well. Great show, of course, planned this evening. Now, in the end of what seemed, I suppose, like a game of chess at stages, Kerry came good thanks to super subs Tony Broston and Donal O'Sullivan, as Jack O'Connor's men finally dug out 2 points, a vital 2 points, I suppose, at home as well. I'm delighted to be joined by our all-star pairing of John Kennedy and Liam Broston. I suppose, have a look back at the action, if there was any action at all in the game. I suppose we will have a look at them, and we'll put their comments through to them as well, and you can get those comments into us. John Kennedy, I have to say, you're a man with a great future, because you called this one right.
That's the first time. No, I think Donal has that.
Sure. You only need to win once.
You have to get lucky sometime, Donal, yeah. I suppose.
You said it was Kerry were going to start strong. You said Kerry would have to put as much experience as they had on the field, and you felt that playing at home would make them dig a little bit deeper. They done all that.
They did, Donal. Yeah, I thought it was going to be their strongest team to date, because, you know, points are vital to consolidate Division 1 status. I felt they were going to be good enough to beat Armagh, but I don't think any of us thought to be the kind of game it turned out to be fair. But look, at the end of the day, we got the 2 points. I think they're a vital 2 points, considering the way the results panned out over the weekend, because, you know, you're close to getting into the final, but you're close to relegation. So it's going to be a real dogfight. But, you know, Kerry did what they had to do. Frustrating game, huge crowd, great atmosphere, but, you know, people anticipated, you know, kind of a shootout, with some great stars on both sides, particularly in the forwards. Armagh had different ideas. You know, they came and they just didn't want to attack, really. Got a lot of bodies back. I suppose it's a learning curve. You know, how do we get around it? You know, David Clifford, Dublin triple marked the times.
Would you blame a team travelling away from home to play Kerry? I mean, are they going to set up in a shootout mode? I mean, surely they're going to, you know, stay back, defend, keep it tight for as long as they can. And that was the Armagh plan, I mean.
It was the plan. But I think, Donald, they have a lot of potential, this Armagh team. I rate them. I think they're good. They have a lot of physicality. A lot of good ball players. They have some great forwards. You know, Stephen Campbell, Ryan O'Neill, Grogan, who wasn't on. You know, these guys, they're all, Manon, they're all able to score from distance. They have great pace, great agility. Like, they're, you know, they're a very good side. I feel that the Ulster Championship could be their goal this year. Coming down and not playing, you know, is one thing, but, like, you know, they were so close. That's the setup they had, but, you know, for us, we got over the line. I think a few very positive things. I thought Jason Foley was outstanding. You know, he's really turning out to be a top class fullback. Stephen O'Cumber coming in wing back, we've been saying it, Liam and myself, for a bit. You know, he has...
Well, Liam's been saying it all the time.
Yeah, he has, in fairness. He has gears, look.
Everyone's laughing at me.
He's been unfortunate with injuries for the last couple of years. Didn't get that game time, but now he is. It's a very impressive performance. Our midfield, who's been much maligned, I suppose, over the last few weeks, they did come up. You know, they improved. And I think the forwards then, you know, when things weren't happening, Donal Sullivan and Tony Broston coming off the bench and getting 2 vital scores. It shows that we have that strength and depth. Look, when others are not performing, these guys, and it was right for Tony, because, you know, as Liam said afterwards, you know, he's a scoring forward. Ambrose alluded to it, close to goals, and, you know, he shot in sight. That was a great score. And Donal Sullivan could have gone for a goal, maybe, but it turned out to be the winning point in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Fisted over the bar. So all in all, look, two very valuable points. I think they'll be happy. Maybe not with the game as a spectacle, maybe not with the performance, but the result.
Mm-hmm. The result is everything, Liam, to be honest with you. I mean, those 2 points kind of, it gives you 4 points. It's gas when you look at the table. We're technically third. You know, had you lost, you'd be saying we're close to relegation. 4 rounds played, and it's quite unusual. All teams could still be relegated and all teams could possibly still make a final. That will make the next game and the next game even more difficult and harder. But Kerry will need to continue winning at home.
They will, yeah. Like we said at the start of the league, win our home games and you'll be safe. And the funny thing, the way the league has gone, is if we win next week above in Tyrone, you could end up in a league final very quick, Donal, because
Jack doesn't want to be in a league
Jack
final.
Jack does well, so Jack, but I'd say he'd take it if it was there, because the more competitive games we get through the Munster, heading into the Munster campaign, the better for us. And yes, look, that was a game Saturday night. It wasn't. It was a hard watch, but Kerry didn't mind that. The management didn't mind that, because coming down, I'd say, in the bus after the Mayo game, there was a lot of thinking going on, and there was a lot of heart to heart, I'd say, training during the week, and Kerry just needed to win that game. And you know what, it was a game, and I know the supporters would love to see lovely football and everything, but Armagh set up try to make it hard for us.
Mm-hmm.
And to me looking at the game, was the difference was with the Mayo game was with David Clifford and Sean O'Shea, you know, the presence that they brought. And like, David was attracting 3 to 4 players every time he got the ball, so he was creating the opportunities for the rest of the Kerry boys, which we didn't have above a Mayo. You know, there was a lot of one-on-ones in Mayo, and they were getting bodies around us, and we just didn't physically have the strength. But with David and with Shawnee in there, the whole balance of the team is a lot better. I thought Adrian Spillane as well, you know, around the middle of the field, half-back line, the work rate, you know, so much so he ran himself into the ground, he had to come off. Darren Meinen had one of his better games again, you know, same thing. And that's reflecting back to last year, where we had a very workman-like performances from everyone around the team. No, we didn't look for all star performances, but solid performances. And I think a lot of the Kerry boys had that over the weekend. Delight as well for Barry Dan. Dunno, he has got enough of criticism with the last couple of weeks. No fault of his own. It's just he's been thrown in the deep end. And dunno, when you look back at a lot of the games and you look back at the weekend, he's one of the guys that's kind of stepping up a small bit. He's trying, he's doing a lot of stuff, you know, in a position that we are struggling at. And I think Jack has faith in him, that there's a reason why he's there. You know, we can be here looking at it, we're only looking at him once every couple of weeks. So things are a bit better now after the Mayo game, after Saturday night.
Mm-hmm. John Kennedy, Jack said we got a good reaction on Tuesday night at training. This is, of course, after the Mayo game. And we were glad to get a good reaction. They're proud lads. They want us to put their best foot forward. And said before the game in the dressing room that it was up to them. And I thought they were excellent, particularly in the second half, because Armagh went 2 up and they're a tough nut to crack. They're very fit, very physical, and it took great resolve from our guys to get over the line. I doubt any Kerry person ever said we wouldn't have fight for the battle, but we really needed to go deep the last night. And even when they went too clear in a game that was quite tight, 2 points seemed like a big lead.
We thought they closed down, no, the way the game was going. Yeah. If they went up 2 or 3 points, we said we won't get.
How important were those changes? I mean, Jack put on guys who the week before people were saying please take them off.
Yeah.
But he went to the pocket, he looked in and he says, yeah, off you go, boys. He knew they had it in them.
He did. I think particularly, like Liam said, David and Shawnee coming in, they took a lot of the pressure off the lads above.
Yeah.
You know, they're the marquee players. They're going to take the attention of the defence and maybe leave options open for others. But after the Mayo game, those guys coming down the bus, I can only imagine what it's like. We've all been in that position where you haven't played well, you have been hockeyed, and, you know, poor performance, big Kerry crowd up there, and you can't wait, really, for the following week or the following match. And, you know, they were actually after putting themselves under pressure, because this was a must-win game, as Liam said there. You're playing at home. You had to beat Armagh, or else you could be in relegation trouble. You didn't want to be going to Tyrone looking for 2 points to come out of the relegation battle. So, you know, they did dig deep, and I thought that, like Liam said there, you know, the performances, the work rate, and, you know, typified by Darragh Mine and there, look, Adrian Spillane, you know, the selfless running off the ball, the covering back. Tadhg Marley was back to his best again. You know, hadn't a good outing in Mayo, but like, he was the real Tadhg Marley the last night. He was aggressive, he was attacking, and he was in control, really. And you know, Cumbar was covering back as well. He was giving them the platform to do that. I think our structure was good, and you know, it's while we didn't it wasn't marquee football, mm-hmm. you know, we had to grind out a result, and we did.
Liam, Armagh going back up the road, I mean, they're probably taught, guys, Mayo had a run at Kerry last week, maybe we should have done it.
Yeah, and you know, it's something that you'll be thinking about after the game, and the guys that John named out there earlier, the Ryan O'Neills and these guys, you'll be kind of saying, why don't they, I saw them last year now above an Armagh, and they played a lot more football last year. Like, they came down to stop us from playing and hoping maybe to catch us on a break, then to get a goal and stuff like that. But I think they're better than that. You know, they have better, they have way better footballers. No, I was amazed that they just sat back. Like, you look at the stats, like, they had actually 68% shooting conversion, we had 57. No, they have the players to do it, only this defensive structure. Well, whether they're building it for the championship and they're looking down along the line, but I think they're
looking at it from a perspective, they're playing in Ulster, not in Munster, not in Leinster, and you probably need a defensive structure up there.
Yeah, but the only thing about it is you have to be looking if you want to get to Croke Park as well. I don't think a defensive structure like that can a team keep it going for 70 minutes in an All-Ireland quarter final or semi final or even a final. But
speak to us about your other friend that you haven't mentioned yet. He was out around midfield for most of the night. I thought he played very well. Your number one.
Oh, my goalkeeper.
Yeah.
He was like a pantomime villain, really, wasn't he? the crowd up on the stand every time he got the ball. But to me, they're trying to reinvent the game of football a small bit. And I think if they went back and played football, they'd probably be a better team. But I might eat my words come the summer.
Is it easier for the likes of him to play that role when you kind of drop back yourself to defend? I mean, he was literally a loud walk into midfield. I mean, at one stage, there was nobody marking
him. Must think he's a better footballer than their centre back and full back because they were behind him.
Mm-hmm.
So
he seemed comfortable on the ball.
Well, he's an outside player, I think. He is an outside player, very comfortable kicker as well, because you could see the way he was kicking the frees and stuff like that. But look, I don't think it's a place for a goalkeeper, because you will be caught.
And
there was times, you know, you could see when we turned over the ball, even the crowd were getting up maybe once or twice if we could kick the ball a bit longer. But and the one thing with kicking the ball, I think if we had a good game against Mayo the weekend before, you know, our confidence was a bit up. Our confidence was maybe a bit shattered going into this game, and we didn't want to give away the ball too much. We were minding it. There was opportunities that we could have maybe hit the full forward line with a couple of quick ones, but we decided to give that extra pass instead. But that's coming down to maybe our lack of confidence, and after getting, we didn't want to give away the ball. And I think as time goes on, we'll get better at that, because there was times when David was looking for the ball inside one on one, and you know, if we kick the ball in high or low to David, 99 times out of 100 he'll catch it, but the guy outside was kind of hesitant at kicking it. And but I do think that's a backlash from the Mayo game. But I think that's what Kerry will be working on, that our transition from defence up to the forwards will improve as time goes on.
Jeez, he's all talk tonight, isn't he, John?
Tonight,
we might as well go home for now. Lads, Kerry dug out a win. That is the most pleasing aspect of what was a very poor game to watch. That's John in Killarney. Great to see Jack keep faith with Tony Brosnan and Donal Sullivan, and both coming up trumps when they need it. In years gone by, they would not get another chance. Maybe there's an element of truth to that, maybe. Donal, great show last week, especially with the Kerry J. Stewart. They do such a great job, and it was nice to see so many of them on Saturday in Austin Stack Park. Yeah,
we're signing autographs and everything. There was a big gang around them.
Pictures and everything. Awful game to watch, lads. Why are we back playing Tyrone style football, and why was there no long kicking by Kerry? I think it's a criticism that's levelled, but it's a bit unfair. I mean, who was going to kick a ball into 14 Armagh fellas who were covering 13? You know, unless you're really good at landing a ball in, there's no space. So it goes back to a situation where Armagh set themselves up not to allow us kick.
Yeah. And I think, just like I said, the weekend before kind of stopped us being that little bit adventurous, because we were a bit shocked. You know, so I think as time goes on, we will be hitting one or two of them long balls in against defences like that.
Mm-hmm. Donal, listening to the show from County Armagh, we had a great time in Tralee, especially in the Greyhound Varsus around the corner. My God, fair play to you. John, away from the match, wasn't there an amazing amount of Armagh people?
Yeah, super, super. Huge crowd down. Yeah. We had it during the week.
Great supporters, yeah.
Great supporters, in fairness, and great banter, and a big Kerry crowd came out on it because this was a big game and a great atmosphere. But there's something about the night games, I think, in fairness. You know, wherever they are, it just brings an atmosphere of a different type to a Sunday game in at 2 or 3 o'clock. But it's a pity that the game didn't match the crowd, really. If it had been that little bit better, it would have been electric, I think. It killed the momentum of the crowd, really, the way it played. But look, just going back to what Liam said there, or your listener, it's very easy kickball in to man this triple marked, but you're losing possession. It's a patience game, and it doesn't look good over and back across the field. But it's for that split second, if the opposition lose their concentration, you're in for a score. And we play the patience game very, very well.
Mm-hmm. Liam, 12 scores to win a league game. It's obviously at the lower end of entertainment. But I mean, the game itself, for some people watching it, they would have said it was a good game. They would have said it was an interesting game. It was a game of chess. You held the ball for as long as you can until you got your scoring opportunity. And if you look at the scoring conversions, you were on about, 66 and 57. They're fairly high, aren't they?
Well, both sets were high. Like, we were 57% and they were 68%. They had 16 shots and 11 scores. We had 21 shots and 12 scores. No, but it was just like that. I don't think it's Kerry's fault. It's the way Armagh came out and set up that they put a zone defence, and it's easy to say it was Kieran Donaghy's fault being the basketball side of it, but they set up a defence, and we were watching them in the first half. They were just leaving Kerry have the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, afterwards, we caught up with Kieran McGeaney, and we found out what his thoughts were on the game.
Kieran, congratulations. Obviously, it's a game you feel that you should have got something out of it.
Yeah, look, we're hugely disappointed. It's definitely a match that we should have got something out of, definitely a point out of that game, the way it was going, nipping and tucking the whole way. We knew that coming down the road yesterday. But look, there's loads of positives come from it. But probably just a couple of wee errors there in the final 4 or 5 minutes that potentially got them across the line.
Wee bit of composure, was it? Or was it just getting late, the nerves?
Say composure, I think our composure has got really good over the last 18 months. A bit of ill discipline from our own point of view in defence, when we no call to engage with anybody, and then probably a bit of inconsistency from the referee as well, probably helped them to get momentum in the final stages. But look, they're all things out of your control, and we just got to lick our wounds and get ready for another big week.
Because defensively you were so well set up for the game. The game plan worked like a dream, all of a sudden.
We worked hard as a unit, something that we pride ourselves in, we have to stay concentrated and engaged for the full 70 plus minutes, and we probably lapped a wee bit of concentration toward the end, and that cost us.
Yeah, there you go, John. Kieran McGeaney saying that, we lapse a bit of concentration towards the end, and that kind of cost us. He readily admitting that, this was our plan. Our plan was to come down, frustrate Kerry, defend as deep as we can, catch him on the counter. And the plan nearly worked, John.
It nearly worked, yeah. When they went 2 points up in a tight game like that, it didn't look good for Kerry. But I think we the subs we brought on, that patience we had, we didn't give the ball away, we held it well, and when the opportunity came, shot selection was good and we took the scores, and I think that they did make the few mistakes, they did lapse, but it still baffles me that you have guys like Stephen Campbell and Reno O'Neill and Madden and up front, and you don't give them the ball. They are some of the best forwards in the game. Campbell on in full flight, he kicked a super point.
He was playing wing back for most of it.
Wing back for most of it. Reno O'Neill is another top class forward. But look, that's the game plan they had. Maybe, like Liam said, they might be looking forward to Ulster, because it's going to be a battle in every game, and have the system, you just can't change it overnight. But I think if they're going to kick on, they got to semi-final last year, if they're going to kick on, they need to to express themselves, and they need to move that ball. There's a balance. Mm-hmm. And I think the last night it was on the negative side. I think you need to get the balance right if you're going to be contesting in an All-Ireland semi-final and final.
Well, we'll see. There's a long season there yet, even though it's just catching up on them. We'll take a break, and after the break, I caught up with Hugh Duggan. Any idea who Hugh Duggan is?
Former referee.
Oh my God, John Kennedy.
He put John off a couple of times, I suppose.
Never.
Well, he put Paddy O'Shea off in the 1979 final and cost him his All-Star. So he talks about that to me, and he also talks about Wishy Fogarty. We'll talk to him after the break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now we're discussing Kerry and Armagh, and plenty of comments coming in. Donal, Kerry and Armagh set up the same way. They had a sweeper in front of David Clifford, and we had a sweeper in front of Rian O'Neill. Tadhg Morley was the only one that wanted to take on the Armagh defensive line, and we got two scores from line breaks that he made. Yeah, Tadhg Morley back to his best, I suppose, in fairness. Like, I mean, you know, the Mayo game, obviously, it was a different tactic. The boys came at him the whole lot. Hi, Donal. Why didn't the county board have a double header on Saturday night? It would not happen in Cork, Dublin, or Galway, says Pat. It's a question. It's out there. The reason, Pat, I would imagine, and I spoke to Harry G about it, is that when you have a double header in Ossensack Park, there's only four dressing rooms, and basically the way that things are gone these days, each team take two dressing rooms each now, because you have your dressing room for your team, and your dressing room for your backup system, and you have your dressing room for your physio, and they take up two, and you need the dressing rooms cleared and emptied in the whole lot before the next game starts. So I'd imagine there'd be nearly a gap of an hour and a half between games. So that's the modern answer, I'd imagine. Can't see how John Kennedy said our midfield improved. Oh my God, John Kennedy. It used to be Liam Brosnan used to get these ones. That's Dennis in Killarney. We'll go back to that, Dennis. We'll give another bill to that one now in a second for you. Donal, I was at the game last night. It was a good win, but it was diabolical stuff to watch. And I think that's kind of a fairly big theme of some of the comments coming through. All defence, too much lateral passing. Kerry were so defensive, just as defensive actually as Armagh. It's a sad day for football if this is the game the way it's going, says Mossy. Hi Donal, it's always great to win a hard, tight, tough game like that. It wasn't great to watch, but the main thing is that they won and there was no injuries, and begrudging congratulations to your Man United, Charles. Fair play to you, Charles. I knew you would be the only Liverpool fan around me this evening that had to stand up and congratulate Man United. Well done. We're not finished yet, Charles, but we're going to win a couple more things as well, I think. Hi Donal, is there something happening in Sligo with Summerhill College defeating the Sim from Killarney in the All-Ireland Colleges semi-final? And that's from Joe Langtree in Tralee. That was a big surprise, Liam.
A bit of an upset, yeah. No, I don't. Many people were expecting that.
I suppose when it comes down to it, we'll talk about maybe the Sim in the thing. It's the age group as well, isn't it? I mean, they're not senior players as such. I mean, you know, the one bad day, things can happen. But it's also the sort of competition that you can run into a very, very good team somewhere as well. And maybe at times we think, being Kerry people, that area, they're Sligo.
No, divine right it, like, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think they ran into one there. But listen, congratulations to the Sim. They've done very well all through the year and all are in the semi-final. And I'm sure plenty of those footballers will come out the other side of it as well. Now, just before we go on to our next topic, I caught up with Hugh Duggan the last evening. I was out with the St. Brendan's board. They were honouring their own district members who won All-Ireland medals. A lovely night. Alex O'Donnell was organising it. Sean Kelly, of course, was there as well. And it was really nice to see St. Brendan's honouring all the guys who had won All-Ireland medals over the year, and I suppose marking that occasion. But one man who turned up there, whether he knew it was on or not or anything, but I found out who he was, Hugh Duggan, and we spoke to him about Paddy O'Shea, the All-Ireland final in 79, and a certain Wishy Fogarty. Now, delighted to be joined by Hugh Duggan, of course. Hugh, of course, from Armagh. And he's here on holidays for the weekend, but he's following Armagh all the
time. Armagh beating Kerry.
Good stuff. Hugh, come here. Let's get to the big story, of course, first of all, the 1979 All-Ireland final, Kerry versus Dublin. You were the man in the middle.
I was, yep.
Yeah. What was it like going into that final? I mean, I'd imagine there was a lot of pressure on referees at the time, Kerry and Dublin, two of the biggest teams, fittest teams at the time, the whole lot. How did you prepare for it?
It was a big step for me, actually. I had come out of the blue, basically, refereed the league final in May, the Ulster final in July, and the All-Ireland in September, and it was my first really major game in Croke Park. When I got the notification, I was in awe that I was there to referee Dublin and Kerry, like the two teams that you wanted to referee. But inter-county games are a lot easier to referee than club games, to be quite honest. And I enjoy it.
Yeah. And can you remember the day itself? I mean, there was over 70,000 people there. I mean, there was obviously more than a club game at it, and even at an Ulster final, I suppose, there'd be a lot of people, but 72,000 people. And two teams that you probably would have watched playing football on television and the whole lot. How do you prepare for it yourself?
I did a lot of extra games, actually, rather than training. I used to do like a game Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, two college games on a Saturday, and a game on Sunday, which was better than training. And I was actually very fit, to be quite honest.
Yeah. The pace of the game, I mean, Kerry won a 3-13-1-8, I suppose it was one of Kerry's greatest performances. That Kerry team were bringing to kick off at the time. What were your memories of that game and Kerry themselves?
Well, I was always a sort of I wouldn't say I was a fan of Kerry, I couldn't say I was a fan, obviously, as a referee, but I always admired their style of play. You know, just, and your referees these days can stand around while they're back past and going back to the goalkeeper. We were up and down the field, was kicked, the ball was kicked in, out, and you're up and down like a greyhound. But it was easier to referee. There was nobody diving. I mean, you didn't go down unless somebody really whacked you. Like a Paddy O'Shea hit you, you went down.
And speaking of Paddy, he must have done something off the turn because you did flash the raid at him.
Believe it or not, he was shocked that I sent him off for two fouls. Yeah. Carded him for the first one. He hit a guy late. He actually knocked him out. I had to bring the doctor on to retrieve him, so I booked him for it. Yeah. And then near the end of the match, even though Kerry were like 7-8 points in front, one of the Dublin boys were going through, he just jumped on his back. But it was a bookable offence. Yeah. And when I said, "I'm sorry, I need to send you off," he said, "What for?" I says, "Well, no, it's a bookable offence." And he said, "Done a whole lot worse than that and didn't get sent off."
Good stuff. Come here, of course, you're still involved. You're back, I suppose, for the next couple of days, I suppose, supporting Armagh. You've a new president. That must be exciting for yourself.
Very, I know Darlith well, and we're all very proud of him. And I have no doubt he'll be a good president. He'd be a good anything, to be quite honest. Very elegant speaker, knows the game inside out, knows how to speak Gaelic, and he's a perfect president for me.
Yeah. And of course it is Terrace Talk, and of course my predecessor was Wishy Fogarty, a man that you moved in the same circles with in the 70s.
Knew him very well, Wishy, nice fella. We were refereeing around the same time. There was only like, it's probably half a dozen top grade referees, and he would have been one of them.
It's something that's forgot about Wishy, because I suppose we don't speak to a lot of his peers of the time. What kind of referee was he?
I would say my first impression was that he had a football background. He knew how to handle players. He just would call boys over like we all did. We would treat them as adults, say, "Look, you know, if you do that again, I'll have no option but to book you." And wish he would have been good at that. He was well respected, you see, before he went out onto the field. And that was a big plus.
Yeah. Refereeing has changed completely, Hugh, I suppose, from the 70s. I mean, players maybe are a little bit fitter now and the whole lot. And it's like you said, I suppose they're prone to the dark arts of falling over a few times now, which they didn't before. Do you still watch the game and still have the same love for it?
I still do. To be quite honest, I'm getting a bit disillusioned that it's getting too professional for me. And, like, I've always maintained, everybody in every group sits around the table and the referees sit under it. We still get no respect. Sometimes we don't deserve respect. If you make a bad mistake, you deserve a bit of shit, like, and you accept it. But they still get no respect. The game now is so backwards. Like, when we were playing, when I was reffing, the ball went up and down the field. You were up and down like a greyhound. Now you could sell me your hands in your pockets for 5 minutes. The ball's going back to the goalkeeper, back again, especially when the team takes the lead. Yeah. There's no forward passing at all.
Mm. You fair pleasure. Thanks very much.
Okay, no problem. Sure,
there you go, Hugh Duggan, a man with plenty of colourful language anyway. Lads, take up his point there. I mean, back in his day, you ran up and down the field and the ball was moving and it was all over. He said you could ref the game with your hands in your pockets now, John.
Yeah, I suppose, Donald, we've often said it, like, the common sense, and that it's you know, referees are under more pressure now. There's somebody up on the stand ticking the boxes for them and, you know, assessing them and all that.
And it's on TV and social media.
You know, and, like, there was a lot to be said for having awards in the year, and it happened, we all got it at times, and you heeded it, and if you didn't, you were sent off mm-hmm. for a second one. And I think it added to the game, but, you know, that physicality that was in it, as he said, you know, you hit a fella fair, you know, physical, and that was part and parcel of it. But it was different, as he said there, look, it evolved, and it's a different style now, but like the basics are the same, and it's disappointing to hear that there's no respect for referees, because look, you know, whether they're right or wrong, if you haven't a referee, you can't have a game, in mm-hmm. fairness. And most of them, to be fair, they do let the play flow, but it's you know, if you're technical and you start blowing, as Liam has been umpire several times, mm-hmm. if you start blowing, you're going to have a shambles of a game, because it's going to be stop-start. And I think that if the referee lets it go, respect is a big word to use there about Wishy. And I think if you look at the top-class referees in the country in both hurling and football, they have that respect that they can let the game flow, but the players know there's a line they can't go over, and they won't. And as a result, you have some of the better games in both hurling and football because of that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting you mentioned Wishy, of course. I mean, like you said, he was moving around that circles with him, and of course we never get to ask about Wishy the ref as such, I suppose. We all know about the Legion and his career with Kerry and the whole lot. He also said that, you know, Wishy came from a footballing background. Does that help a referee, Liam, that he has played it himself, or are far too many referees coming from a non-football background?
No, it definitely helps, because number one, and I remember Lord Preston Wishy said himself, he could judge where the ball was going before it arrived there, because he had the player's mentality. And you'd see a lot of the referees, you know, that they know where to be before the ball lands there. They're not that kind of way. I think the most annoying thing about referees, really, or for players looking at referees, is if a referee makes a decision from 80 to 100 yards away, you know, that's everyone gives out in. How did he see it? He's 100 yards away. Whether, even if I picked it up off the ground, I'm still going to argue with him, because he was so far away, I was going to say, you couldn't have seen it.
There's an element of doubt.
But the way the game has gone, and we saw Saturday night, I thought Saturday night, the referee, you know, there was a lot said about him. His two linesmen didn't really help him, to be honest, because a lot of the stuff that was going on was behind the referee's back. And I was watching the linesmen, and the linesmen seemed to be watching the game.
Yeah, where's the breakdown there? I presume when a referee is picked, two linesmen are picked, they're not particularly his team.
No, they're referees themselves.
They're referees themselves.
Yeah.
So sometimes in a situation, they might not have met each other in a social sense until 5 minutes before the game, and they might know each other and how they read games and
exactly,
that kind of stuff.
Exactly, yeah. Look, I think, and I said it before, I think the way the game has gone now, it's professional. I think two referees have to come in, because if you saw the carry on with David Clifford in the first half, say for instance, but the referee was above at the 21 yard line at the other end, the linesmen were above watching the game, and there was no one, only two umpires who don't have a whole pile of power, who can be roaring mad to the umpires, but they can call a referee and stop a game and stuff like that. They can say it but the game has to stop. Whereas if there was a referee in one each half, especially for these games, because it's a big business now, Donald. No, so you don't want, like, David Clifford got a handy yellow card now to Leicester, because the two Armagh boys were kind of doing what teams will try to do, provoke him.
It's and
all he wanted then was a lazy tattle, and David Clifford was gone off. But if you have two referees, one fell in one half, that stuff has disappeared. Or else the linesman will have to hold a half and let one linesman go forward. But all our referees are moving with the ball, yep, and they're not watching what's behind them.
Did you ever win a Sigerson?
No.
Did you ever get close?
I celebrated a couple of them.
You celebrated. Well, this man celebrated one anyway, and that's Damien Burke of Nagail, and I caught up with him as well over the weekend, and we had a small chat about it.
Great win there during the week.
Yeah. Come here to me, UCC, of course. I mean, a lot of Kerry people travel up and down there and the whole lot. I mean, but you're playing with the likes of Billy Morgan. What's he like to play for?
Yeah, you play for him all day. He gives a great few words for every game, and his training is phenomenal, and he's got the medals to show it.
Yeah. The final itself was fierce, exciting Sigerson final, wasn't it?
Yeah, extra time. We weren't used to it. We went to extra time twice before that and penalties twice before. And it was a tough night, but we got over the line, thankfully. Yeah.
And of course, college football, it's very different, but it's very rewarding as well. I mean, you're playing with fellas from different clubs and different counties and the whole lot. How do you balance that compared to playing with the club?
Yeah, it's definitely a higher level than to playing with the club. You're playing with a lot of inter-county fellas, and it's a much quicker game. But I suppose the time of the year, it's a lot of wet, poor conditions, and so it's a bit different to the club, like when you'd be playing in the summer, but it's nice. It's nice burn the football to be playing.
Yeah, and of course it's fairly stressful because I mean you're on the go nearly all the time for a couple of weeks. I mean it's game after game after game and travelling the whole lot. Did you find it difficult?
Yeah, I suppose you come straight from the club straight into the Sigerson and you'd be training 2-3 nights a week with a game maybe, and the Sigerson itself is played off week after week for 4 or 5 weeks in a row, and then all the extra times on top of that, it was tough to recover in between and stuff. You might have to take a session off here and there, but we got over it eventually.
And of course you're bringing a medal back to Nigel, of course, which is fantastic. We're here tonight, of course, talking about St Brendan's. Of course you're senior championship boys. How are you looking this year?
Yeah, we'd be hopeful again this year to stay up. We stayed up last year and hopefully to push on a little bit more, maybe make a semi-final or something, or top the group, or do a little bit better anyway than what we did last year. And
well, of course you did very well last year. I mean for a lot of teams that come up intermediate, it's about holding the status. You held that pretty comfortably, and of course you did win the county championship game as well back in West Kerry.
Yeah, so I suppose it was all about holding the status really. The first year we had a 1 point win over Kinmare, and if we lost that game we could have been in a relegation battle against Stacks, and we might have been back with the Brendans again this year, but thankfully we won that game, and hopefully we can do a little bit better now this year.
And finally, were you all looking at the draw, of course?
Yeah, we're all looking at the draw.
What do you think of the group?
Tough group, right? You're not going to get any easy draw in senior championship, but we'll be hopeful to get a few wins there.
And of course, you'll have a good few months to wait for it anyway, so you'll have plenty of training in the meantime.
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. Thanks very much, Eamon.
Thank you.
There you go, Damien Burke, who I found was also a New York Jets fan. My God, everything is falling into place tonight for us. John, we compete in so many different things, but to be part of UCC for the likes of Damien, that's really special.
Oh, it is, yeah. As you said, it is a step up from the club. You know, it is a serious competition. It's played over a short period of time, not in good conditions, and, great tradition in UCC. And he mentioned Billy Morgan. What a legend of GAA, like, but what he has done for UCC and the respect, again, we're back to that word again. You hear some of the Kerry lads, the respect he shows them. He's a real player's man. Dr. Con Murphy with him, I was watching the final. These are the guys, you know, what an input they've had.
And they're still fresh, despite their age. You know, the way that fellas think you have to be 30 and you have to have the clipboard and the whole lot. I mean, these people renew the energy all the time.
Oh, absolutely. And, it's infectious, I think. You know, when people see the likes of Morgan doing it, the others respond. And he's been there and done that. And a word from Billy Morgan in your ear, it's like Mick O'Dwyer with us, or, Jack O'Connor now. Or these guys, when they say something,
they carry weight, don't they?
They carry weight. Yeah. You listen. And a great achievement for all the Kerry lads and Damien. You know, it was fantastic. Great medal to have.
Mm-hmm. Stay with us, lads, because after the break, we'll catch up with Pat McCarthy. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, the Kerry senior ladies footballers produce another top drawer performance, I suppose for the second week in a row, but maybe for the fifth week in a row, who knows, after defeating reigning league and All-Ireland champions Meath by 12 points. It was a huge win, actually. It's a win that puts them, I was going to say, within touching distance, but obviously it's not. They're actually in the Division 1 league final, their first one since 2008, and I can remember that one and how that went. And we're delighted to have Dan Kearney on the line, because since we started talking to Dan Kearney, I don't know, are you the lucky leprechaun then or what you are, but everything seems to be falling into place for you. Another win, 12 points. Are we getting giddy at this stage, I wonder?
Yeah, I suppose, look, 5 out of 5, if you can knock it. Like you say, they're in the final with 2 games to play, and deservedly so, really. Like, I mean, I suppose maybe the first 2 games they got a bit of luck out of them, but they were Donegal by 2 points, and then they just blew Dublin and Meath away. So really, like, they're improving all the time, and deservedly they're, like, you know. So I don't know, maybe, look, their conditioning and their fitness is superior to the other teams, and what I think as well is a huge factor to this team and how they've performed beyond all expectation is that, you know, the lads, the management there, they kept the majority of the players, I'd say 95% of the players are there from last year, and when you have that kind of continuity, it certainly builds into the performance, and they've been giving it, and you know, they were absolutely phenomenal again in Brasna last Saturday, and they were fully deserving. They just blew Meath away, and even I was talking to the Meath manager David Nelson after the game, and he was dumbfounded by how good Kerry were, particularly in the second half. You know, they just put on the the afterburners, and they just blew his team away. So, you know, it's all very good. I mean, you know, they have a bit of time now until the final. Like, you know, they have two games to play in the meantime, but it's a lovely position to be in for them, Donald.
Mm-hmm. The final, of course, until the middle or the end of April, so it's a bit of a gap, but obviously they have two games more to play as well. Come here, 1-4. Normally we pick a player, we're nearly always picking Louise and fair play, mm-hmm. but this time Niamh Carmody, she produced another mammoth game, didn't she? 1-4, fantastic stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely outstanding. And, you know, even before, like, she had got the goal, but even before she got her 4 points, I remember commenting to somebody beside me in the press box how well she was playing. She was covering every single inch of grass over in Brasna, up and down the field, getting blocks in, defence, and then she was up in attack. And, you know, all of her points were so well worked, really, to be fair about it. Ball was passed over edge of the D, kind of on the wrong side for a right footed player, but she just, you know, she slotted him. She's a lovely kicker of the ball, and of course the goal she got in the fifth minute of the game was phenomenal. Like, and I like you mentioned, Louise Mira Hurtig, but there must be a shout out to Louise there as well. Kerry put a bit of heat on the meat kick out, and Louise, when the ball passed it into Niamh Carmody, stuck it in the back of the net. Phenomenal game, but she's an all-star, you know, and she's showing it every day for Kerry, like, and she's not afraid to take on stuff, which is fantastic. But another girl I must mention as well. Now, you can mention them all because they all played really well on the day, but Kaylee Cronin, I thought, was absolutely outstanding at full back. She was actually, like, you know, she was phenomenal, like, and she's like, I remember speaking to her before, and she said she's not a big fan of fullback, but she'll play anywhere for Kerry. But she reminded me of Seamus Moynihan, when Seamus Moynihan was put back there back in the day as well, and he was phenomenal there. And Kaylee Cronin, like, she gave that kind of performance as well last Saturday, so, you know, I must mention her out as well, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Come here, Lorraine continues to score a couple of points here and there. Obviously she was very close to home the last day, so she probably will use the scoring points in Bruston, is she?
Yeah, she had to turn it on. Yeah, I'm sure Lorraine is just playing unbelievable football as well. Like, I mean, again, she's imperious in the air. Like, you know, there's nobody touching her. Like, and then she's popping up off the shoulder now, and it's and you know, she's very accurate there when she goes in there. So, I mean, Lorraine is so vital to this team. It's she's, like I say, she's playing great football, and she's enjoying. You can see she's enjoying it. She's a smile on her face when she's playing. Her fitness levels are extraordinary, like, and of course we all know what a great attitude she has. Like, so she, look, Lorraine is playing great football. Any of the older girls that have been there for a while, you know, with respect to calling them older girls, like, you know, they're all playing really, really well. Ashley O'Connell understands it. Another girl there, Eilish Lynch, you know, we rarely if ever talk about Eilish Lynch, but Eilish Lynch, time after time, she's turning in these fine performances at cornerback. You know, she very, very understated, but every time she gets the ball, she uses it well. You know, and herself and Kaylee there at the back, like, they're like two rocks there at the back. So we must mention Eilish Lynch as well. Like, but like you say, going back to Lorraine, so Lorraine is just a superstar, really, at Intercounty Football, Donald.
Mm-hmm. Come here. A lot of people kind of saying the game was in Bruston, and why wasn't it in here, and why wasn't it there? But I mean, it was kind of a traditional thing that ladies football went to the home of where footballers were as well, and there was a huge crowd at Bruston. Bruston really laid out the red carpet, and I think you were wined and dined by Kay Walsh.
I was wined and dined by Kay, a Cork woman, like I say, a Kish game woman. But, you know, she's been in Kerry now long enough to know the Kerry way to look after us. Like, you know, it's fair.
She's well able to sell lottery tickets out in Bruston as well, isn't she?
She is, and I can imagine she must have huge success because she has that bit of charm about her. It's anybody that feeds you and gives you a cup of tea, you're going to be mad about. But no, in fairness to her, and in fairness to all the Brasna club, I must say they're a phenomenal club out there. They have a fantastic ground, and I think there was a bit of talk about them carrying those. I mean, that was nonsense beyond. I mean, the stuff, and Liam would know there as well because he was out there. Like, the grounds are fabulous out there. You know, they really are. That the pitch, I was on the pitch after, it was as good as Aston Stack Park. Like, and you know, that's a fair endorsement to it. Like, they put out all the stops, stewards, everything. I think it's a great venue. It was a great venue for a game. Great mm-hmm. venue for the game, and they created a great atmosphere as well. So kudos there to Brasna GAA. Like, you know, they put out all the stops last Saturday.
Absolutely. Sure, you never know. If we talk to the LGF lead, the two of us, they might bring the final down to Brasna, maybe, rather than Parnell Park. Might be the place to go. Dan Carnison, thanks very much for joining us. We will catch up again. Hopefully we can make it 6 in a row and 7 maybe. But the most important thing is that we're in that final since 2008, and I think that in itself deserves a full show some evening. Of course, 2008, I remember that final then. It didn't work out quite well. We lost to Cork. It was a big loss as well. And funnily enough, do you know who played in that game that is still playing today? God, radio silence, that's awful. Any idea, Dan? go back and ask Louise Murray Hertig, because she was there that day as well. She was there, a survivor.
She was there that day as well.
Absolutely. She's there a long time. Hopefully we'll get off the line this time. Listen, Dan Carney, thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks, Donald.
No worries. Then, of course, Dan Carney, he goes to all the games. Come here, we were talking about Lorraine Scanlon. She's a fabulous midfielder, but another fabulous midfielder in 1975. This is kind of John's era, he was looking up to it. Was a guy called Pat McCarthy, who doesn't give too many interviews, and I was very lucky to catch up with him again last Friday evening. And we spoke about, obviously, playing in midfield, but we also spoke about Kildare, because something that's lost was that he was a selector. Liam, you remember those good old days, don't you?
I remember 98 well, Donald.
Absolutely.
Not for all the good reasons.
Pat McCarthy, so have a listen to him.
Joining us now is, of course, Pat McCarthy, two-time winner with Kerry. Pat, it's great to be kind of home again tonight in your own parish, I suppose.
Well, fantastic. Anyway, I come down maybe 4 or 5 times during the year. I'm always a Churchill man at heart, and there was an organised event tonight, so I was asked to come down, and there was a presentation made for people that won medals, and I happened to be one of them, and lucky enough to be one of them, and I definitely enjoyed coming down. Yeah,
it's great to be recognised by your own people. I know there's lots of, I suppose, awards throughout your career and the whole lot, but it's a little bit more special when you kind of get back to Churchill, and they're talking tonight, of course, about St Brendan's players. What's your memories of playing with St Brendan's?
We always sort of played well, and we were unlucky in the sense that maybe 3 times that we played, maybe the team that went on to win a county championship, and we never sampled maybe semi-final day or final day when I was playing, but they sampled it afterwards. They were beaten in the last, was it 2 years ago they were beaten, and then they were beaten about maybe 12-14 years ago as well. I never had the experience of playing in a county final, or a semi-final for that matter.
But you've had experience, of course, playing in All-Ireland finals. 1975 was a very special year for you. You made your debut against Tipperary. You won 3-13-1-9. I think you were playing in the forwards that day, not midfield.
Well, it goes back a bit further than that. I played in 73 with Kerry, with Mick O'Dwyer actually, but I was illegal. I was playing football in Kildare and playing with Churchill, obviously, here as well. And then sort of I got straightened out, and then I got a call up to play with Kerry in 75. And lucky enough, we went all the way, won the All-Ireland. And that was actually the highlight of my football career anyway, you know.
And of course, you didn't just win an All-Ireland, you won an All-Ireland playing midfield, which is kind of one of the marquee places to play as a Kerry man.
Well, at that time it was sort of more important, I think, than now, for the simple reason was the goalkeeper kicked out the ball, obviously, as we all know at that time. It was always hanging around the midfield, and the midfielders were sort of maybe the primary obtainers of the ball, and they played into the forwards. Now it's a different kind of a game, but centre field, I liked it, and it suited me, and sometimes I had great games, another time I didn't have a great game.
So, of course, you had a good game, of course, in 1976. A lot of people, the Munster final in 1976, it still jumps out, a big score, a game that went to all the way to extra time. What's your memories of that day?
It was a replay, obviously. The drawn game was low scoring enough, and the opposite happened in the replay down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. The two games were in Páirc Uí Chaoimh because I think Kerry owed Cork 2 games because of the reconstruction of Páirc Uí Chaoimh at that time. And it was great. I thought we had lost it at one stage. I was convinced. I didn't realise that sort of the goal that was disallowed by Cork, I thought it had been given. And when the final whistle went, I thought we had lost. And I always remember Mikey Sheehy had a ball up in the air and went over the bar, and I thought we were beaten by a pint or 2 pints. And somebody said to me, it's going to go to extra time. So then extra time came, and I suppose our fitness carried us through, and we prevailed in the end, and we won the semi-final, but we were beaten by Dublin then, obviously, in the final, that memorable game as well.
Yeah, of course, yeah. That was a great game as well. Come here, fast forward a small bit, of course, after your Kerry career, you went back to Kildare, you lined out for Sallins. What drew you back there, work was it?
Well, I was always, when I was playing with Kerry, Sallins was always my football club, because I had to make a decision, either Churchill or Sallins. So I chose Sallins because I was living up there at the time as well, and I used to hurl with Artlock as well. I liked the hurling, and I just played with Sallins, and I got called up with Kerry, and that was it. Sallins was my club, Kerry was my county.
Mm-hmm. And of course you reunited with Mick O'Dwyer sometime in the mid-90s or the
I had the privilege actually of playing with Mick and officiating with him and playing under him as well, and I was involved for a couple of years up there, and we got to the All-Ireland final in 98, which is still a sort of a sore point from a Kildare point of view and my point of view. We had done all the hard work, and we were beaten by a good Galway team, as it turned out afterwards. They won another All-Ireland in 2001, beat us in 98, you know, yeah.
Just for our listeners, I mean, the time Mick went, and I mean, we were looking at it on television, and there was crowds of people all over Kildare. He was like the Messiah. What was it like on the ground at the time?
Unreal. I think, you know, I mean, I often said it afterwards that if Kildare win that far again, they should go away to the Iron Islands or somewhere like that, you know, because everybody got involved in it, and there was flags and buntings, everything, and, you know, it was very accessible for the media to come down to Newbridge rather than to go down to Galway to sort of interview Galway players. So I think that maybe didn't help us, you know, being in the limelight and in the papers every day and so on. So I think if Kildare ever got that far again, the farther away from Kildare, the better. To prepare for the final.
Of course, I said you're home tonight, of course. Do you still watch the matches? Do you still watch Kerry?
Oh, I would, yeah. Oh, God, I would, yeah. I go to the games. Now, I've gone to two of the Kildare games so far, you know, but I'll go into Tralee tomorrow night now to see Kerry playing Armagh, you know. I still go to the games, you know, but I'm not actively involved anymore, you know. Yeah, but I'm a fan now at this stage, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Listen, Pat McCarthy, thanks very much for joining us tonight in Terrace Talk. We really appreciate it.
Not at all, my pleasure.
There you go, Pat McCarthy, Sallins and Churchill, and of course St Brendan's as well. John Kennedy, what kind of midfielder was he? Two All-Irelands, one. A lot of people said, you know, he was a very, very good midfielder.
Yeah, very effective. You know, I was young fellow in that 75 final. There was a very young Kerry team, but Pat McCarthy was an experienced campaigner. It was a good move by Dwyer. Like he was very strong under the ball, and he was linked between defence and attack. And, you know, great servant, and, you know, great to hear him speaking there. You know, very unlucky with Kildare. Interesting to hear what he said though about the media and that. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's
was 98. Can you imagine today, like?
yeah. But no, great player, and great to hear him speaking.
Mm-hmm. Liam, we're in injury time. Give us your prediction. Are we going to get relegated?
No, we're not going to get relegated. I think we're going to get to the league final, Donald.
Are we going to beat Tyrone?
I think we will beat Tyrone, yeah. Yeah, it'll be close. It'll be something like the game the weekend. But close. I think we'll get over the line.
John Kennedy, no league final, surely. Jack said no league final.
Yeah, he did. I think we could now, Donald. I think we'll beat Tyrone.
So you're turning into positive paddies now all of a sudden.
Well, you've Ross coming at home then, which should be a nice man. And then you've Galway, and depends what Galway want.
Yeah.
In the last game, you could stumble into a league final.
And will you both be in Parnell Park to support the ladies in the division?
Oh, those though. What a year they're having. Should and like you said,
be the pundit,
keep Dan Carney. He seems to be the golden goose. Amazing, yeah. Since he's came on, he's doing the job.
God almighty. Any other big managerial talk out there at the weekend or anything?
Nothing at the moment that we didn't hear anyway, no. But
we better keep the ears to the ground.
No breaking news yet.
No breaking news. Yes. I can neither confirm nor deny it. Say, listening to Terrace Talk, we'll break something for you there in a while. Okay, up after the break, we're going from the big ball down to the small ball, where we'll talk with James McCarthy and Richardo Foran on hurling. We'll catch up with Aoife Behan. Fantastic win there for the Camogie team. And of course, Dr. Orla Farmer and Elaine Cal will talk to us from 7:30 on, and we'll be talking about the retaining teenage girls in sport and physical activity. And we will do all that after the break. We go to the news.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee.
where being local means coming home.
Now a couple more comments to catch up with. It was good to see Davis Clifford being escorted off the field as soon as the game was over the last night, Donal. Since the All-Ireland final, he's been like the Pied Piper. Enough is enough. And what about all the kids at the end line during the second half? Surely an accident waiting to happen. Yeah, actually an awful lot of comments on that. I suppose the amount of children running around the place. Hi Donal, think this was the most dour game of football I've ever seen, as Pat Spillane's puke football came to mind. Would you ask your experts, was this a game that would encourage your children to play, grandchildren in my case, and are there any rules in Gaelic football? Thank you, Sean. Yeah, our experts have left the building, but we'll keep it over, Sean, don't you worry, and it's going to be something that's going to keep coming up time and time again, and it's something that won't get old. Donal, is it gone too overboard allowing a lot of juniors onto the pitch at break and full time? Someone will be hurt. One lad got to go and tap Colm Cooper while he was covering the game. Never saw this happen before. Yeah, I suppose at full time there was an awful lot of activity, a lot of children of course on the pitch and on the field fairly quickly. Donal, a very hard fought win, but a win nonetheless. Let's be positive. Yeah, I don't think anybody's being negative about the win. I suppose most people are kind of talking about the manner of it, but I suppose the bigger sense is that's the way football is gone. And one last comment I'm going to read is very important here for me anyway. It was very sad to hear the death of the great Carstairn athlete Patrick O'Shea, may he rest in peace, and that's from the Murphy family in Castle Island. Yeah, absolutely. We'll remember tonight the late Patrick O'Shea, certainly one of the most talented runners produced ever, I think, in Ever IAC. My sympathies there to Barry and Gerard, Linda and Paddy, of course, and indeed a very large extended family. I mean, God, there were brothers and sisters all over the place with Patrick. He was a late comer, I suppose, to athletics. He made his mark, I suppose, in cross country and road events and that kind of crack. He won the NACA marathon on a number of occasions, and then he kind of blossomed in his career when he kind of moved to masters. He continued to dominate distant events, and he won national, European, world events. And you know, he was such a humble man that, you know what, you'd hardly ever know about it. Patrick wouldn't tell you what he won or where he came at all. He'd just get back to work fairly lively, a measured man, and yeah, absolutely, he'll be missed by all that knew him. That was the late Patrick O'Shea of Carstairn. Now, a converted sideline cut, I suppose, with nearly the final puck of the game, gave Offaly a 1-point victory over Kerry on Saturday in what turned out to be a thrilling Division 2A National Hurling League clash at Fitzgerald Stadium. But there was plenty more than that story, I'm sure, and just to help us tease through that and the analysis of the game and where Kerry are at the moment are James McCarthy and Rich Dowder for Ron. Lads, it's after the football boys are gone, it's great to have two proper pundits on, isn't it?
When are they coming on?
hopefully they give us something now. Come here, Rich Dowder. A close result, no result in the end, but it's not something that's going to knock the train off, is it?
No, I mean, obviously they'll probably be disappointed with the first half. Very unlucky, had two great goal chances, probably a few wides as well that they rue, and a few soft frees, and of course Cahill wasn't great form from the frees for Offaly, like, so they'll be disappointed with the first half, but a mighty, mighty second half. And you know, Shane Conway popped over the line cut, and Shonelli said, if Conway can do it, I can do it too. So look, it was a moment of magic to win the game, but hopefully we'll meet those lads in the Division 2 final again. But very, very positive, great to see Jordan Conway back. I think we need him back, and I suppose we wish a speedy recovery, of course, to Eric and to Dahi. But look, you know, it was the second half was very positive. We played some lovely hurling. We moved well at times, and certainly I think that we are capable of running at teams. I'd like to see more ball went to the corner, and you know, because we have some speed, as I said. It's great to have John Conway back again. We ran at them at times, and certainly there was some very positive aspects of the game, especially in the second half.
Yeah, David Nelly, Richard, is really becoming the Seamus Darby of the Kerry hurling world, isn't he? I mean, that's the second time he's done this, isn't it?
Yeah, as they used to say about 8 years ago, we have to stand down him. he broke our hearts last year in playing National Stack Park, but you know, himself, you know, I don't care, like, an outstanding hurler. I mean, Nally, I mean, his line cut the last day, and it was a narrow enough angle, but yeah, he broke our hearts last year, and hopefully we get to the final, hopefully he won't do it again.
Mm-hmm. James, were you ever good at sideline cuts?
Actually, I got one when they were worth 2 points total.
Oh, come on. You got a red flag, did you?
That's, you know, back in the day, you know, because Joe Kenning would have about 40 points a game, if that was the credit. But, yeah. No, it was, you know, it was just a hard-looking game. You know, we said it early in the year, don't we? We said, we only have to beat them once, so I don't mind losing last Sunday at all. And the way the league is panning out, Derry and Down look fairly harmless, to tell the truth. And Carlo only now finds a bit of form. You could see last week in the game, like, they were there, they had the skirt, they're starting to get their show back on the road, so maybe Kerry got them at a good time when they weren't maybe going as good as they should. I know Kildare whipped them early on, but I think they've got their turned their boat on a little bit. And looks like, how big is Kildare going to be? Don't know. Like, I think the way you said the structure, you told you the top team got their final, second two place semi-final. Is that the, I don't mind, that might be the layout, I'm not sure, but I think we're sure they couldn't have been top three. I think just, even just beating Down at home should do us. Like, you could even afford to lose. I won't say afford to lose against Kildare, but it looks like it could.
Yeah.
And I think we're good enough to be Down at home. Like, but to be familiar foes against him, Joe McDonough, you know, we're going to meet Offaly a couple of times this year, and maybe just once to lose, beat them, and I hope it's the league final.
You've been pushing this agenda all along, James. You feel that winning the league is far more important for Kerry than winning the Joe McDonough.
Definitely, because if you look right, we've been to 3 Joe McDonald finals. We lost 3 of them. We get the Joe McDonald final this year, win the Joe McDonald final, great. We get a cup. What else do we get? We get one more qualifier. Right, lovely. Win your league final, what do you get? You get 5 qualifiers. You play 5 Division 1 teams, 4 Division 1 teams next year, Division 1 B teams. That's like 4 qualifiers. That's the carrot. That then sets you up. That's where you want to move on. Like, it's no good just having to pop it, the Wexfords and maybe the Antrim, maybe once a year. You want to be playing them week in, week out, bang, 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 and that's what you need. You have to get to that level. You saw, if just even talking to people, like the Offaly Miners last year, it's because the amount of games they played over and over and over, eventually they got to an All-Ireland final for the first time in so many years. Like, I'm not saying Kerry are like that, but you could talk about a similar kind of story. By playing so many games at that level, I guarantee you Kerry will get better, because the more it's put up to Kerry, the better they are. If they get used to that company, I think they'll be okay. But you've got to get up there. Like you said, just that one game against Offaly, that's all I want. One cut off them in maybe in Croke Park or wherever they've had league final, I don't care. Have one cut off them again, and I think we'll be good enough to beat them.
Richard, Stephen Malumpy's team, they're beginning to kind of create their own kind of brand of hurling as well. I mean, there's a lot of kind of passing off the ball on the shoulder stuff now as well. Does that take time? And obviously he needs a bit of time, and he had time, I suppose, last year as well, to develop that kind of style. And is that the kind of style that it's able then to bring in players, to substitute players, rather than just building yourself around one player or two players? He's kind of building the collective rather than the individual, is he?
He is indeed, as James said there, you know, talking about the importance of going to Division 1B. Antrim, like, you know, are performing well in 1B. I mean, they played well against Kilkenny, they put it up to Waterford, and last year, you know, they only beat us by point in the Joe McDonagh final. So you can see, you know, how it has benefited Antrim, you know, that they're playing great on it. So I think if we were up there, as James says, and we were playing in, you know, where Antrim are now, I think it would bring on our holding an awful lot. But yes, I think that Malumpy certainly, what he's trying to do is trying to bring on, as you say, the unit, and he has the sub as well. But, you know, I mean, they are in great shape. They are working extremely hard. Probably we haven't seen the finished article yet. I mean, there's hopefully lads to come back as well. You know, there's a few lads out. But I think that, you know, they're going the right direction, and hopefully, you know, they can only develop from this. And, you know, let's come back, like sort of said, Jordan Conway coming back and lads like that. And certainly, I think that, you know, as a collective, the team are going well. But certainly, hopefully, you know, like, you know, we'll see. I'd be slightly concerned. I mean, the final game will be against Down, but Offaly's final game will be against Kildare. And, you know, Offaly might have one eye on the final, so Kildare could shock them there. But look, our fate is in our own hands. All we can do is beat what's in front of us, and you know, and see what happens in the other games as well. But, you know, we're going the right direction.
Yeah.
If you young players come in, that's important.
Yeah, Richard, there was a lot to like. I talked about the Kerry performance the last day. The first half, I thought they were competitive. They got the goal, and then for some reason, I just thought they pulled the handbrake for a while and kind of left Offaly away in them. But there was a patch there through the second half where I think Offaly did go 7 or 8 points clear, and
Kerry hit 5 points unanswered, two of course from your own buddy Colin Walsh, to kind of close that gap. When Kerry do get the chance to hurl, they do hurl very well, don't they?
Yeah, but I suppose, you know, that you have to do it all the time, I suppose. You know, when you're playing against, good teams, like, you know, and, you know, if you give them the lead, like the last day off, for example, wasn't great form with from the freeze and things like that. So, you know, you have to be consistent, and you certainly can't allow a really good team to get a lead on you. But in patches the last day, we showed the Cabo Hurling that we are capable of playing. And hopefully we need to see more of that. But we have some fine hurlers, and as I say, we should be more confident in running the ball. I think last year we popped a few balls into the full foul line in Jordan, and he was outnumbered, and there was no point putting the ball into him. So I think we have more confidence running up through the lines, and also, you know, getting balls to the corner as well, because we have speedy guys inside there, and I think that we need to give them the opportunity to run, because, you know, we had three goal chances the last day. I mean, if you look at McAtee, Lean and Ross, you know, we're in for three goal chances because they ran it at the Offaly defence. So I think we need to see more of that. But you know, it's if we remain two games, we just have to win those two and see what happens then. But as I say, in a final, I wouldn't be afraid of Offaly.
God, I might let you in the final already. Jack O'Connor doesn't want to be in any league final, and our hurling boys are mad to be in a league final with a few games to go. Come here, James. I suppose, look, everybody's going to be looking at, you know, the couple of games that are left and the whole lot. One thing that struck me about Offaly, and they've played three games now, they're the only team in Division 2A not to have scored a goal. All the teams in Division 2B have scored a goal. I presume, I don't have the stats, but I presume everybody in Division 1A and 1B have scored a goal. What is it about hurling that you can win games now without becoming a goal threat as such?
Yeah, you know, it's probably a good sign. Like, I know what I got, maybe was it 13 or 14 points from freeze, but their ability to score from long range, I think that's where they kind of built that team that way. They don't waste time. I won't say waste time going for goals, but do you know what? They kept the scoreboard ticking over all the time. Kerry went 20 minutes in the first half without a score. You can't do that. Offaly pint. A goal looks, that's like you said, Kerry got their goal, and you said pull the handbrake. That handbrake was pulled for 20 minutes. We've no score for 20 minutes. But Offaly kept tipping. We've with the breeze. I mean, next thing, they were 5 points up. Like, that's another mountain to climb again. Kerry giving yourself awful hard work at different times. Like, in the second half, Offaly went 5 points up again. Then you have to really get a burst in again to get another 5 points back into that game. And it's, like, in overtime, it will catch you. Like, I know it was a sideline course, yes, but I know Shane Conway go on before that. But will you have the energy left in you to come back again and again and again? I don't know. And as for goal chances, obviously, maybe they're trying to get around that, just score from outside. Maybe they think the goals, I don't think they have a natural corner forward who will get a goal chance for him. They have a lot of good strikers from long range. I don't think they have a guy like we have, say, Shane Conway, John Conway, goal getters inside there. I don't think that's on the Offaly. It's in their army. I don't think it is. But they have a lot of guys that can score from any angle, from freeze, from play outfield, get points from any angle. So they are at the end of the unit without getting goals.
Rishtar, did you find your way home easy enough from the big distance you travelled the last day?
I did. I made my way to the People's Republic of Causeway where under 13s were playing. But I made it all right, no problem at all.
Yeah, it's an awful journey, isn't it?
It's an awful journey, but it was great to be there. And you know, I think, John, you're talking that Killarney is going to be the new home of hurling, but so I look forward to that.
Absolutely. Aidan O'Mahony's doing a great job over there with Dr. Crooks, you know.
He
is. Come here, something else that cropped up, and it was a comment in, of course, from a couple of listeners now at the moment. The ticket prices, 18 to see,
crazy.
Yeah, 18 to see the footballers, and was it 12 to see the hurlers or whatever?
A tenner. I think all Division 1 games are 18. Yeah.
Why such a big gap, do you think, Rishtar? Or would you have an opinion on it?
I don't know. I was talking to a gentleman there who has a season ticket, and his wife and teenage children went, and they paid €90. I cannot for the life of me understand why. I mean, it's a tenner for Division 2, which is fair enough, but €18. Now, if it was a double header,
you probably wouldn't mind. But €18 for adults, €15 for students, and a fiver for under-16s, I think is way, way too expensive. €18. Yeah, as I said, that family forked out €90 to go into Austin Stock Park. Yeah. I think it's too much. And it's a massive jump from Division 2, a tenner, to Division 1, 18.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just Kerry, it doesn't matter, a friend of mine, a Wexford as well, and of course they didn't have a good weekend, but he was saying €18 for their Division 1 game as well. Very, very expensive.
Yeah. Come here, another thing that cropped up there a couple of times as well, I suppose, sometimes the hurlers get a little bit more forgotten than most. And we touched it last year as well, because you did bring it up here in studio here. And it's when it's welcoming teams and opposition teams, I suppose. I mean, there was an awful lot of Armagh flags all over Tralee. And obviously, the same last year, I suppose, we had Kildare down and there wasn't a mention of Kildare or whatever. And the same, I suppose, for Offaly. I suppose a little bit more could be done, maybe.
Yeah, well, I suppose someone actually raised as well that, you know, it was the ladies footballers as well, you know, it was actually someone raised about that there was no welcome for Dublin the previous week. And, you know, in all fairness, I suppose, my understanding is that there's a small number of business people in Tralee who come together and they throw in a few bob to get the flags up. And in all fairness, a representative of them got back to me and said, look, we'd love to do it for the hurlers, the ladies footballers and the Camogie team as well, but it's just financially very difficult to do it for all of them. So I suppose it would be nice if other people come on board and provide the same welcome for the other teams visiting Tralee.
Yeah, absolutely, because obviously the visiting teams for the hurling and the ladies football are bringing people down as well, and sure, look, if it's only having a lunch or spending a night in a hotel or B&B, I mean, it's adding, and particularly this time of year before Paddy's and the whole lot, that's vital. James, let's go back, talk hurling. Kildare, at the start we didn't really mention them, but one team that seems to have got themselves back a small bit was Carlo. I mean, they certainly gave us a good enough shout, and they put up a huge score yesterday.
They did. They walloped down. Like, they gave them, it was a 5-24.
Yeah,
a huge score though. Like, I think, like we said to you earlier, they had guys involved with college teams.
Mm-hmm.
I think they really didn't get them back online, maybe with college teams from Carlo and areas like that. They are, I won't say they're solely college, but they really are focused on that. You could see with even when Clare were playing last week, Rogers was playing with UL the week before in the semi-final. He came up there against them, they couldn't limit take Clare, he didn't raise a gallop. These fellas' legs weren't there. You could see it in the Carlow lads as well. When they played Kerry, they just weren't at the races. But now they seem to have the full whack in there again. And Kildare didn't have fellas involved in the college, like maybe they did in Dublin, I'm not sure, but they seem to be serious outfit. We talk about our Joe McDonough group, Offaly and Laois. The danger fellas will be Kildare and Carlow when we hit them in Joe McDonough. Mm-hmm. They'll be in good shape. We've got to be very careful of those lads in our Joe McDonough group when we do get that far. Thank God, as I said, we play Carlow. I think Carlow still play Offaly. I'm not sure. That'll be a serious game because last year, Carlow is a favour in that one. So maybe they might do the same again.
They're great for doing favours, Carlow, fair play to you. Come here, Richard, final one. The Camogie, big win.
Absolutely fantastic. Down at half time, 10 points to 4, came back in the second half. But I suppose it's again par for the course. You know, for years, the Kerry Camogie team, they've been punching above their weight. They're from a very, very small area, and they have a small pitch, but they're absolutely fantastic. And to come back the last day above in Meath, down by 6 points, to come back to win by a goal, absolutely fantastic. And they're going really well. Absolutely, very, very proud of them.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, our ladies footballers will absolutely flying. So the women are really leading the way for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you be surprised now if I told you I had a Camogie player on after you?
No.
No, Jessica. There's no surprises here, James. Fair play to you. No, because we are going to dip into to the Camogie result as well, in fairness, because, as I said, 3 of the 4 wins came at the weekend, and of course, they went up to Meath, and you know, it's a tough place to go for any team, but to produce the win they did, and we're delighted that we're going to be talking to Aoife Behan after the break. We'll catch up, and she might let us a bit more. And Richard, they're back in Fitzgerald Stadium again, playing Cavan next week.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Will James make the trip this time?
It seems to suit us. We have more space to play, I tell you. No, they've really done well, though. That, when we are involved with the Kerry Minor Hurlers, the Camogie Hurlers will be on after us training, and they really have great numbers. And what they've done, which is a great idea, is they have the girls are coming into minor panels, bringing them into the extended panel, so they all train together now. So it's like building, like you say, a Kerry Camogie experience, building them all, get them all in together, and giving the girls who are going to be seniors next year a look at what's ahead of them. So they've actually built a nice blend there. That came in for me in last year as well. It's continued on this year, and you can see it. I wish them all the best. And that was a huge winning at Meath. Meath played into Meath's All Ireland final against Cork a couple of years ago and nearly won that one. So Meath are a serious Camogie team. So fair play to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, they're great words saying. Richard and James, listen, thanks very much for your time this evening. It's great to kind of promote hurling and I suppose keep it on an even keel as well. And in all fairness, like, I mean, that train and that boat is certainly sailing in the right direction as well. We'll catch up with you again in a week as well. Hopefully everything will be, fingers crossed, going well for us. But after the break, we'll catch up with Aoife Behan of Kerry Camogie.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, of course, there was death in our own parish, I suppose, at the weekend as well. And we want to give our condolences to the Nelligan family, of course, on the death of Colette. Of course, she was the wife of, I suppose, Kerry footballing great Charlie Nelligan, who played in goal for all those years. But, of course, also mother of our own, David Nelligan. Of course, you would probably have heard of David Nelligan because he's in the newsroom. And I suppose they're going through a tough time. And listen, all our thoughts are with him on the death of Colette. And, of course, plenty Beaufort connections out there as well, of course, being a Clifford from Beaufort, and we wished and our thoughts are with them this evening and for a lot of evenings to come as well. Now, it's been a very positive start to the new season for the Kerry Camogie team. A draw against Westmeath on their first day out in Fitzgerald Stadium, followed by a fabulous victory last week over Meath on the road, where they fought back from a 6-point deficit. I'm delighted to say now that I have one of the victorious team, Aoife Behan, on the line. Aoife, that was some win. I have to ask, I suppose the most important question I'm going to ask is, what was said at halftime in that dressing room?
Well, I suppose that's what someone said to me here. They said, what happened at halftime? Did you get a right bollocking? And to be honest, we got the opposite. I suppose we lost Niamh Lean. She's our centre-back, and she wasn't feeling great. She'd come off at half time, so we were kind of going, wow, we're really up against it now. But I suppose last year Meath were the ones who knocked us out of championship, so I suppose we kind of had that be in our bonus. And I suppose I was lucky, I'm in Dublin, so I had a shorter trip, but it was going to be a long journey home. We were down 6 at half time, so if they were going to double that, it was certainly going to be much harder. But yeah, I suppose we got maybe 1 or 2 points after half time, and Patrice then got a goal. She just kind of lobbed the goalie as a free from about the halfway line. So I suppose once we saw the green flag going up, it certainly gave us all a boost. We failed to get a goal against Westmeath the week beforehand, and that kind of, like, we were very close. I suppose there's a few opportunities to get the goals against Westmeath, and we didn't get them. So once we got the goal, we kind of pushed on. Now, we were 2 points up and they nearly got a goal, but Ciara Maloney, in fairness, made a great save. And yeah, we just pulled out. Ellen got up with the last score there. So yeah, it was brilliant. We were absolutely thrilled afterwards. And yeah, I suppose we owed them one from last year. So we felt like we didn't perform against them last year. So yeah.
I was talking to Meath people after it, believe it or not, I have a couple of friends up there, and they were at the game and they were watching it, and they probably had it chalked down at half time that it was going to be a comfortable win for Meath, they told me. But the one thing that they impressed about Kerry at the end was that they said that you were the far more composed team in the closing stages. You had a kind of a sharper cutting edge in attack, and you looked like likely winners from about maybe 10 minutes to go out to the end. And the other thing that they said that they were very impressed with, and this of course is for your own unit as well, that only one of their 6 starting forwards, Grace Coleman, managed to score from play. Any day that you can do that, that you can keep the starting forward line of 6 down to just one scoring person, that's a remarkable achievement, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose we're lucky. There's a nice mix at the minute. I mean, we're obviously, it's still league, so we're trying to get the young girls in. And Ciara Sullivan there at wing back, she trained all up along with us last year, but she was too young to play, so this is her first year now in. And it was great. It was great to see her getting her opportunity and yesterday, and she was brilliant. And all 6 backs, in fairness, like, we all worked our hardest, and there was times we were under pressure, like, but yeah, I suppose there was a good blend of players, and there wasn't many scores in play. The ref was kind of, he was stopping up a nice bit, he was picky on certain things, but you get that in Camogie.
But yeah, Sarah Murphy is solid full back, and Rachel Mack, I suppose Rachel Mack is just off the back of, she's with UCC in the Camogie and the Ashburn, they reached the final there, so she's in great form since then. And Anya O'Connor and Kate Lynch came back from midfield, so yeah, I suppose we were under right pressure in the first half, but at least we got the reward in the second half when the forwards were scoring. And I suppose
of course, when you had Jackie Horgan and Patrice Diggin hopping in at 1-9, that's great scoring power as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And Ellen got a score there at the end of us. That was good. And I suppose the footballers were playing Mead as well, so there's a few crossovers with them. I know we were kind of hoping Aoife Minogue had been playing with the footballers up midfield, up along, so we kind of thought she might stick with the small ball, with the big ball, but she decided to take out the hurley and go playing Camogie this weekend. So
yeah, and she had a fine game, hadn't she, Aoife Minogue? I mean, I think she scored. She scored 7 or 8 points. I mean, she got 165 in, I'm nearly sure, but she certainly is a big scorer. Come here, you're back in Fitzgerald Stadium next week. Kevin to come. You have a game drawn, 3 points. If you look at the table, you're at the right end for it. Kevin, I think, beat Laois at the weekend at home, so they're coming in with a chance to win. Would you have played Kevin before? They seem like a new team to me.
Yeah, we would have played them. I suppose definitely down there at minor level, we've played them a few times. We've played them before, but at least I suppose we're lucky in that they're travelling down to us, so we're not travelling up to them. Mm-hmm. We're away to Derry the following weekend, so we'll have to make use of the home advantage if we can at all.
That Derry game, actually, I saw it there on the chart. I mean, my God, that's a massive journey. Is that an up and down in the one day, or fingers crossed you might bring?
It's a massive journey, yeah. It's massive, like it's nearly 6 hours, like you're going top to bottom, really. We're looking at going up on the Friday. I think we're talking about going as far as Donegal up Ballygofey. But again, girls are going to have to try and get off work. I think the bus driver Bernard, he wants to leave at 3, so he'll be going well now to get them all on the bus for 3. But
he'll have the flask full of tea by 3 o'clock, will he?
Yeah, exactly. But I think they're going for an early start, though. Lots of the games now are early starts again, because I suppose Cavan are back down. They're back up on Saturday after the match, so they were looking for an earlier start, and we're going to look for, I think our game is looking at 12 o'clock as well, so we're going to try and get up as far as we can on the Friday night so that we're not travelling. If it's a 12 o'clock start on a Saturday, you don't want to be travelling much that day either.
It's an extraordinary trip and journey, Aoife, to be honest with you. Come here, Fitzgerald Stadium a couple of weeks ago, playing on it, would you have played there before? There was a good few of you probably played with Clonmorris in the football against Southern Gales, maybe there a few times, or Castleisle or whatever.
That's it. We haven't played there. It was the first Camogie match there in years. But a good lot of us now, in fairness, would have played the football there. We had the Abidorn, even footballers would have played there in a final a few back. And yeah, a good gang of us would have been with Finucane against Southern Gales that final. And we played Croke there. We played a few matches there right in the football, but it was definitely different. And sure, it was lovely for a change. It was nice. Nice venue, anyway, definitely.
What's that moment like, Aoife, when you come out with your Camogie girls in your Kerry jerseys and out that tunnel, and I suppose it's nearly all football pictures on the wall, and it's a bigger dressing than normal.
We're laughing. Yeah, we're coming out. We're trying to find one hurley up in there. There's lots of football heads.
Yeah, you wouldn't find too many. If you go back in the next day, okay, look for Johnny Cullity, okay? No, Johnny Cullity is up there for being a footballer, but would you believe it? In 1969, with Killarney, he won a county championship medal playing hurling, so he's probably the nearest thing to a hurler up there and a footballer as well. Come here, Aoife, listen, I'm delighted you were on this evening. I mean, it's fantastic to let Kerry people know that we also have a fourth team out there. I mean, the ladies footballers are getting fair good coverage at the moment as well, the hurlers it's absolutely fantastic. There's no chance of bringing Aoife Carmody back into the hurling fold, is there?
We've done that now. We've tried bringing her in a club, but she's going so well now to football, there'll be no pulling her in this year anyhow.
Alright, okay. Well, sure, keep it on your long list of things to do, and you never know. Listen, Aoife, thanks very much, and thanks for giving us so much enjoyment as well. I mean, when that result came through the last day, it was a very pleasing result to put up and talk about and the whole lot, and hopefully we'll have another pleasing one as well against Cavan the next day. You're doing fantastic work. And look, it doesn't go amiss the amount of effort and time. Maybe at times, all right, we're a bit guilty of probably not shining a light as big as we can on you. But look, we're doing the best that we can. And look, it's great to see you. It's great that you're engaging with us as well, which is fantastic. And listen, wish all the gang the best of luck the next day. And tell Niamh Lean, get back. My God, I'm actually pretending to be injured, was she?
She will, she will. Yeah, thanks very much. Cheers, no thanks for the support.
Not at all. That, of course, was Aoife Behan, wing back, of course, on the Kerry senior Camogie team. And, of course, keeping the team, we'll be talking about women in sport after the break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, the struggle of retaining teenage girls in sport and physical activity. Well, I suppose if you're a member of any club, of any sport, I dare say that's a problem and one that is hard to tackle. Well, the Kerry Recreational Sports Partnership are certainly attempting to help clubs get the tools, I suppose, to help them with the issue. And they're hosting a two-hour information evening and a programme on March the 8th at the Kerry Sports Academy there above in the North Campus there in Tralee. I thought it'd be good to invite some of the speakers, I suppose, along just for a taste of what is on offer. I'm delighted to be saying that I'm joined by Elaine Cahill and Dr. Orla Farmer, to give her full title. Can I start with you, Orla? The doctor part shook me because I always knew you were Orla Farmer, the footballer, but the doctor bit is certainly adds to the reputation. You certainly, I suppose, have a pretty unique insight into the topic. I suppose you were part of that wonderful, I suppose, Cork ladies team with your All-Ireland medals, and I suppose you were playing at the most elite level and you saw the game from that, but yet you balanced your PhD, which kind of focused on youth participation. So you've seen both sides of the book, I suppose, in fairness. Where do you see this issue and this problem, I suppose, starting, I suppose, and what can we do to kind of solve it, maybe in the short term rather than the long term even?
Firstly, just thanks a million for having me on. It's great to be able to share insights, especially coming up to the event next Wednesday as well. And I suppose I've been lucky to kind of experience that firsthand myself, you know, growing up as a young girl playing football and then obviously being involved with the Cork ladies as well. So I kind of, you know, have the research side of it, but also the playing experience as well. And I suppose something that's kind of come through a lot over the years and through some of the research in terms of barriers for participation is, you know, just important to highlight that one in two girls are dropping out of sport coming into the teenage years. By the age of 13, that's 50% of girls are dropping out. So it is really presenting as a massive issue, not only in Ireland but worldwide as well. So it's important to kind of spread awareness like tonight, just to promote that participation and retention. I suppose when I looked at my own PhD findings a few years ago, you know, when I went out to schools and clubs and asked girls, you know, why do you like playing sports and why are you involved in sports, and the top kind of teams that were coming through were the enjoyment, the satisfaction, you know, wanting to keep fit and wanting to challenge themselves with their skill. But one in particular is that of the social interactions, and for girls that's really, really important to kind of have that sense of belonging and being connected, and, you know, the community of practice kind of side of things as well. So friends can actually really influence their participation in a really positive way, but also it can present as a negative way as well. So, you know, when asked what stops you from being involved and why are girls giving up and why are they just stopping one day, friends can actually act as a barrier as well. And some of the other, I suppose, key findings that were coming through was the kind of too competitiveness environment whereby girls aren't really enjoying the training sessions, they're not satisfied with the training sessions, they're not kind of, sometimes lacking that kind of positive support and reinforcement, but social support from coaches, from parents, from teachers as well. And also other issues such as body image, you know, menstrual cycle, all of that, girls can be quite conscious, you know, particularly as they're kind of transitioning from a young girl into, you know, an adult as well, that you have all of that kind of side of things that plays on their mind as well. So really, like, there are numerous factors and it's very different for each girl, but I suppose the main thing is just to create that awareness and education about it so that we as coaches, parents, as, you know, aunts, uncles, whatever, that we can actually understand what they're going through so that we can try our best to keep them involved in sport as well.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And of course it is interesting, I mean, it's not just one thing, I mean, like you said, when you break it down, they're all kind of things that when you step back, you say, "Oh yeah, that makes sense," or "that makes sense," or "that makes sense." But are we sitting back enough though to make sense of it and make changes, Orla? Or are we just saying, "Here, we give it a nod in the head and say, yeah, that makes sense." But have you seen clubs or I suppose volunteer groups getting better at trying to change, or are we still a good bit off?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, we have made positive strides, and I suppose now with the internet, you know, and social media, the whole recognition of women in sport as well, there's more coverage there, and that there's more of that role model presence, so that young girls can actually see, well, you know, I want to be her one day, or this is her lifestyle, and I want that as well, something to aspire to. So I do think that, like, social media and that awareness and education side of it is improving constantly, and, you know, like, it's amazing to... I'd be receiving messages and emails, like, kind of from random clubs around saying, can we do this now, and asking questions. So there are people questioning it, and there are people wanting to find kind of possible solutions to retain girls in their club, because it is a massive issue all over. It's not just in one area. And so I do think we're getting better, and, like, it does boil down to education at the end of the day. We do need to understand. And I suppose one point to make as well is that the majority of coaches as well are presenting as kind of male coaches as well, so it's trying to educate male coaches on kind of the female, I suppose, you know, growing up as a girl and the challenges that can be presented as well. So it's really just down to awareness and education, but it is getting there, slowly but surely.
Absolutely. Well, of course, it does help, of course, if you're a male with a female family growing up behind you, and, you know, I mean, you're probably exposed to I suppose newer issues or issues that you didn't know were there, or sometimes, you know, people kind of glance over things not because they're doing it foolishly, but it's because they just don't know. And it's like you said, it's just educating that person first of all, and then hoping. One of the things that you just dropped there, 50% dropout after 13, that's massive amount of people. Can you go back to your under 12 gang when you were training with your own club? Did most of that gang disappear fairly quickly at 16 and minor?
Yeah, that's something I actually can relate to, because I started playing ladies football actually quite late. I've been considered quite late at 11 years of age in fifth class in school, and that's where I was introduced to football. And interestingly enough, it was two of my friends at the time in my class, the two girls in my class, they actually encouraged me, and my fifth class teacher encouraged me to join my local club in Middleton. And I suppose if it wasn't for that social kind of positive support and encouragement, you know, I probably wouldn't be where I am right now and involved in sport or off the pitch. But those two girls that encouraged me to go all those years ago, they were the ones that ended up dropping out, you know. And I often kind of thought, why was I the one who stuck at it? And that, I suppose, led me to go down the route of researching, you know, the reasons why girls are dropping out and what can we do to get more girls involved. But yeah, it is, it's the social influence, no, it is, it's that transition from primary school to secondary school. It's a new environment, there's new peers, there's new experiences, there's study, there's homework, like, there's loads of factors, environmental factors as well, that can come into play. And so it is something that I can relate to, and that's why I'm very passionate, I suppose, on this area too.
Absolutely. Come here, Orla. We promised that we'd let you out loose early, because obviously you're a fierce, busy character at the best of times. We'll talk about Cork Ladies some other night and all the glory days that you had, and maybe we catch up on that. But you are coming to Tralee, that's the most important thing. And as I said, when I see lecturer in sports education with a 6-time All-Ireland winner, we better listen to you a little bit more carefully with all those. I'm sure Eamon Ryan probably instilled a great love of games and sport and the whole lot. Certainly an outstanding man. We'll take a break, but after the break we'll catch up with the double act, and we'll catch to Elaine Cahill, and we'll talk about the Kerry Recreational Sports Partnership and the thoughts behind holding this event.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now we're talking about the struggle of retaining teenage girls in sport and physical activity, and of course the Kerry Sports Recreational Sports Partnership are attempting, I suppose, to get clubs, I suppose, regarding the issue, and they're hosting a 2-hour information evening there on March 8th. Elaine Cahill, thanks for joining us, Elaine, and sorry for keeping you there a little bit longer, but Elaine, give us the background of the event and why it is so important for people to engage with you, and certainly make March 8th a date that in their diary that they need to go and see.
Yeah, good evening, Donal. Thanks so much for having both myself and Orla on this evening to talk about the event. So I guess it all started with next Wednesday, the 8th of March, is International Women's Day, and the partnership wanted to do something to celebrate and, I suppose, to highlight that week. It's also Women's Sport Week next week, which is an initiative by Sport Ireland. So I guess where it came from, a working group was put together with people from the HSE and from MTU and the likes, the LGFA were involved, and we're just all talking about where do we go with this. We want to do something to do with and celebrate the week, and I guess that's where the series came from, because we realised that there's so many different topics that will appeal to various different people, whether that's club coaches, whether it's physical activity instructors, whether it's teachers or parents. So we decided to put a series of workshops together, and we're launching it then next week with the start of the series with the retaining teenage girls in physical activity and sport. So we're delighted to have Dr. Orla Farmer speaking, and she's going to be speaking around different ways, like the solutions to different scenarios that we often see, which can be barriers for teenage girls. And then we have Niamh Richardson, who is a coach with Kilkenny City Harriers, as well as loads of other wonderful things. She's also a lecturer as well at South East Technical University. So we've got her along as well to speak around the environment and how that can have an impact on retaining teenage girls as well.
Mm-hmm. And of course, they're powerful speakers. I mean, Niamh is a very busy woman as well, and Orla. And of course, they're extremely relevant to this conversation as well. You also have a very, very good MC lined up, I think.
Yes, we have. We're delighted to have Ciara Griffin, who is the former international Irish rugby captain, as well with us. So we've got an unbelievably powerful lineup. There's been a lot of work done behind the scenes. Both speakers and MC have been working hard on their presentations and how we're going to get this across. Those who are going to be there, so I'm excited about to see come through, but also from, you know, if you are involved in coaching teenage girls, whether that's a sports coach, whether you coach a physical activity, whether, you know, teachers within schools or even parents, it's going to appeal to everybody, because there's going to be something in there for all those mentioned. So yeah, we're very much looking forward to the event.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, as I said, it's kind of aimed at, I suppose, sports coaches and volunteers and instructors, teachers, maybe even teenage girls don't know themselves, to see maybe somebody might answer the question why they're feeling like they should drop out, or why they should stay on, or maybe explore a different solution to it, or maybe go to a different sport or all that. But the main aim, I suppose, really is getting, I suppose, teenage girls back, I suppose, not in love with sport, but kind of getting more on the physical activity side, and maybe to retain them a bit longer within an individual sport or a team sport. And I mean, and that's pretty much the aim of it, Elaine, isn't it?
Yeah, and without giving too much away, because I don't want to spoil it either, but we definitely have...
we have to skirt around it fairly carefully.
We have teenage girls involved in this, and I think it's going to be a pretty powerful piece at the start. So we do have them, we do have their voice, because that's what's really important.
It is, isn't it? We're often guilty of talking about the subject without having the subject present. So what you're saying 100%. Is the subject is here, and you're going to hear that story as well.
Yes, yeah, for sure. And you know, all the talks on the night is all research based, it's all evidence based. So it's not like we're just making it up and being mm-hmm. like, oh, in our experience, this. It's all backed by the research that is out there at the minute. So we definitely have the teenage girls' voice, and going forward as well, you know, there is a lot of work being done in the Irish space at the minute in terms of actually getting the teenage girls' voices heard, and that's what we're going to hopefully portray then next Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, and of course it is next Wednesday night. How do I get a ticket? How do I find, where do I go? Do I just rock up on the night, or...?
Yeah, so you can purchase tickets online. So if you go to our social media, Kerry Recreation and Sports, whether that's Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, and there's a link there then to register. So it'll bring you through to an event, and it's €5 plus the booking fee. So I think it's around six twenty just to attend on the night. So it's the doors open around 6:30 for light refreshments, so people are coming straight from work. You can grab a cup of tea and a sandwich and do some networking beforehand, and then it kicks off then at 7 o'clock. And there'll be plenty of opportunity for questions throughout the night. So if people do have questions, that they can come and get them answered by our panellists, but also our MC, in Ciara Griffin on the night. So yeah, all the information is on our social media, and you can click through there.
Yeah, Elaine, listen, thanks very much. I mean, it's certainly something different, I suppose, and it's on your doorstep as well, which is kind of important as well. Everybody can get there. And it's dealing with a problem that, look, it's not just a local club problem, it's a national problem, and dare I say, maybe even an international problem, retaining teenage girls in sport. And, you know, I suppose if somebody can go on the night and learn something or understand something a bit more, or... Sure, if worse comes to worse, I'm sure Ciara Griffin will take pictures and autographs as well, because she's still such a powerful figure who's well able to give a good team talk as well, Ciara is. And I look, kudos to yourself and all the gang there in the Recreational Sports Partnership, because it is very important. It's very important too that people know that these events are on as well. And listen, continue the very good best of luck. And as I said, Orla Farmer's there as well. Sure, I mean, six All-Ireland medals, I mean, that's something not to be sniffed at as well. And it is a very, very strong panel. And Niamh Richardson, of course, she's a very good speaker, to be honest with you. And it's amazing that you have them lined up. And listen, the very, very best of luck. And thanks for being part of Terrace Talk this evening, Elaine.
Thank you so much for having us. Cheers, Donald.
Not at all. That, of course, was Elaine Callan. Before her, it was Dr. Orla Farmer. I still can't get over the doctor bit, in fairness. I mean, it's amazing how people grow up. I remember Orla Farmer as an under-14-old Cork footballer terrorising Kerry footballers at 14, and she went on to play senior, six All-Ireland medals herself, and another Orla, of course, Orla Finn, of course, both from that side of it. Well, that was Terrace Talk for this evening. We started off with Kerry and Armagh, thanks to John and Liam, and then we branched on, of course, to the ladies, five in a row, then Kerry doing a great job, maybe six in a row as we go ahead. The best hurling pundits in the counties, James McCarthy reckons, they are just after the break. It was Stephen Richard adding to the programme. And wasn't Aoife Behan outstanding this evening? It's great to have a Camogie player on, or any kind of inter-county player on, speaking so honestly. And of course, followed up by Orla Farmer and Elaine Cahill. Show put together this evening by Ivan and Keane and Charlie. And up after the break, it's Tóg Suss. We'll all need one after this. Tune in to Mary Conroy, my favourite Galway person of them all. And she'll be up there in a couple of minutes. We'll do it all again next week. Donal Barry.